District 87 Superintendent Barry Riley says a recent educators conference he attended revealed just how dramatic the Illinois teacher shortage is and could become. He spoke to GLT's Eric Stock about the report from the Large Unit District Association. It shows steep drops in the number of prospective teachers taking licensing exams.
It was a big eye-opener. I think all of us knew that we had a teacher shortage, but until you saw the actual numbers of individuals who were going to take the tests for their various educator license, it really was a huge difference between 5 years ago and what you see today, the number of folks who are even getting licensed. So while we had a pretty good understanding that we had a teacher shortage just based on the number of candidates that all of us across the state were seeing applying for jobs, seeing it in numbers of folks that are actually taking the test was very eye-opening.
Those taking the basic skills test since 2012 to 2016-17, the most recent year where data is available, down from nearly 14,000 to barely over 1,000. That is a drop of about 13-fold over just a five-year span. You had indicated that there have been some changes in that test, but have the tests become too difficult, or are there other obstacles or barriers in the way?
Well, I think that's certainly one reason. I think the test has become too difficult. And the way I'll give you the example, let's say you've got an individual who is working to become an elementary classroom teacher, probably going to teach at third grade, second grade, first grade. The requirements to pass that basic skills test for the math portion of it are at such a high level that they will never be teaching in those classrooms. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to hold the bar or set the bar that high. So I would argue that absolutely the basic skills test doesn't make a whole lot of sense in terms of how rigorous it is. It's not that we're against rigor, because that's important, but I think it's very telling when you go from the number that you just saw, just under 14,000, to just over 1,000. Something's got to give there, because in the end, what that's going to create as time goes on is a crisis. It's coming, and in fact, in some places, you would hear superintendents and others argue that it's already here. Here in Bloomington Normal, we're pretty fortunate to be a destination area, and folks really want to be here for a lot of reasons. But we are seeing fewer and fewer candidates for all positions, let alone those that are hard-to-fill positions. So this is very concerning and something that has to be addressed in the immediate future.
One of the solutions presented was to grow your own, to sort of start in your backyard and hone those aspiring teachers to end up in your classrooms. What kind of steps has the district taken to try to fill those positions in your backyard?
Well, we've had a minority teacher recruitment program for years in our district in Unit 5, and it's had very limited success. We're looking to expand that. I know that right now Tim Moore, principal of Bloomington High School, is working with Illinois State University. I'll call it a Future Teachers of America, but that may not be the actual term of what they're trying to do there. So there are efforts that are underway to do that. But quite frankly, those efforts have to be in combination with other things. One of which is just simply, in this country, as a nation, for at least recent history, there's been a ton of bashing of teachers across this country. That has to stop.
I'll give you a free shot. Where do you think that comes from?
Well, I think it comes from a lot of places. You look at what is happening in our political arena. The attack on pension systems, and I'm not suggesting that it's not a real issue, but to blame, and a lot of times you hear the blame is on the educators, that just doesn't make any sense at all. So instead of placing blame, let's work towards solutions. Even at a national level, you look at our leader of the federal education department has no education background whatsoever. There's a political agenda there. You look at our state government. Our state board of education is a political organization. You can't frame it any other way. And as much as they want to be helpful, they're still under the charge of the governor. It doesn't matter what party's in charge. It's still right now under the charge of the leadership. It used to be a nonpartisan organization, and that would be nice if it was that way, but unfortunately it's not.
Since you had alluded to Betsy DeVos, is there anything in particular that as education secretary that she's done or her administration has done that gives you trouble?
Well, fortunately, some of what has been attempted has been thwarted, but you don't even have to look at Betsy DeVos. You can look in our own state. We've started down this path of providing scholarships, tax dollars, to private schools. And I'm not saying that private schools aren't good, but I don't believe that tax dollars ought to be out there supporting them. And now you look at the new state report card. The new state report card, as that comes out, you will likely see a large number of what they will designate as underperforming schools in the state of Illinois. Those schools are all public schools. No private schools are held to the same standard as us. They don't go through these types of designations that the public schools do.
And this is Sound Ideas. I'm Eric Stock with District 87 Superintendent Barry Riley. You and I were both at the Economic Development Council dinner on Tuesday night, in which Rivian CEO R.J. Scaringe really made his first public outline for what they are looking to do to build electric vehicles in Normal in the coming years. Now, you were part of a group of dignitaries who went to Michigan a few months back to get an inside look at what Rivian is doing. But as we begin to find out more and more, I know your mind is spinning with possibilities for your students to partner. How do you feel about the project and where it's going now and opportunities for District 87?
I'm very optimistic about that. I think anyone who's had a chance to hear RJ speak, and I was fortunate to hear him in a small setting as well as what we saw the other night at the dinner, he's a very sharp individual, MIT grad, very strong background. He's visionary. And as I listen to his vision, that is shared by other folks who are looked at as experts on the future across this country. So I have a lot of respect for the man and what Rivian is doing. They have hit and exceeded every benchmark that they've said they would hit. They are they appear to be more than on track towards heading towards production of vehicles. Their technology related to their batteries is very strong. There are some things, obviously, they're not going into detail about, but certainly the unveiling of their vehicles in late November should shed some light on that. That'll be very exciting. But what I'm looking forward to are opportunities for our students and staff and the potential for jobs down the road in this community. And that's true for other school districts around us. So they've been a good partner already as they've begun to come to this community. They've invited school districts, Unit 5 and District 87 in particular, but it's not isolated to us. And I see opportunities for kids to engage in STEM-related activities, get out there to that plant, and learn about different technologies. And in the end, what we want to do is provide some career paths that eventually lead to employment at Rivian.
And you're going to be on the waiting list to buy one of the first vehicles, right?
You know, we'll see. I don't know. I've told you before, we just moved and bought a house, and I'm still trying to sell a house. So right now, I'm in no position to be looking at purchasing a vehicle. But from what I learned about those vehicles, I would be very excited to have one. Their performance is very good. They are vehicles that I think are really good for the environment. And you heard RJ talk about what the potential is for over 400 miles on a single charge. That's unique for an electric vehicle. So I want to support the local economy. And if I'm in a position to do that, I absolutely would consider a Rivian vehicle. That would be great.
Riley says he believes Rivian will provide a major economic boost to the area, including District 87, which will not be impacted by tax breaks Rivian is getting. Barry Riley is the superintendent of District 87. He spoke with Eric Stock.